Thank you for downloading this podcast from City Church.
John chapter 1 and verse 16. But I'm fixing to have a lot of fun with this. One verse. And of his fullness. Oh, I just feel the Holy Ghost. And of his fullness we have all received. Look, I don't know what your background is. I don't know what your hang-up is. I don't know if you're happy, sad, glad, mad. I don't know if you're vaxxed or unvaxxed. I don't know what your deal is, but I know what his deal is. He's in the habit of blessing everybody. And of his fullness, not his emptiness, not his confusion, Lord God, Lord God. And of his fullness we have received, all received. And, I mean, like, would it not be okay? Would it not be over the top if the scripture just said, and of his fullness we have all received? Wouldn't that really be more than enough? But that's why we go to Ephesians 3 and 20 and it says exceeding abundantly. It's not even really verbiage for it. It doesn't even make sense. So, and of his fullness we have all received is more than enough. But while we're at it, and grace, not for struggle. Well, he gives me grace when I can't. He gives me grace for grace. Oh, this is good stuff. Would you mind, we don't do this often, but would you mind today saying this with me if you believe it? I am a child of God. I will be instructed in truth this morning. I will be encouraged. So I want you to say that one more time. I will be encouraged. Now, some of y'all might need to say it to yourself like this. I will be encouraged. But you make up your mind. I am a child of God. I will be instructed in truth. And I will be encouraged. I will be encouraged. I've made up my mind. I'm going to let you talk me into the goodness of God. Give me permission, please, to encourage you. Give the Lord permission to bless you. Go ahead. I will be encouraged. Somebody go back with me to about 4 or 5 years old and remember this prayer. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for all of our food. Just talking about peanut butter and jelly, somebody. By his hands, we all are fed. Thank you, Lord, for this day's bread. Because all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been, oh, so good. With every breath that I am able. Oh, Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we bless you. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody for the first time needs to learn how to just raise up your hands in prayer. Just raise up your hands in prayer. Why? You are absolutely surrendering to the Lord. You're identifying with the Lord. You're reaching to the Lord. Father, we lift up our hands because it's scriptural. I speak a blessing over the people of God, they that are here, they that are watching, they that are getting ready for the second service. Lord, I just speak a miracle blessing over all the people. And I speak it in Jesus Christ's magnificent name. And the people of God in agreement said out loud, God bless you is our prayer. And of his fullness, we have all received. I don't really have time to walk that one out because we're going somewhere. Can you imagine with me just for a moment how good God really has been? People use the term, it rains on the just and the unjust, and they use it improperly because what they're speaking of is when what they deem bad things to happen to good people. But that's not what the scripture means to an agricultural society. It means that God even blesses people that aren't righteous. It rains on the just and blesses their crop. But it rains on the unjust and blesses their crop as well. Of his fullness we have all received. And grace, it goes extra. And grace for grace. Not just grace for the journey, grace for grace. You see, grace is in place of and instead of grace. That's what he's saying here when he says grace for grace. The reality is that he replaces the ability he placed within me to desire, to receive, and to obey with the ability to walk in his fullness. He said of his fullness we've all received, and we've received grace for grace. That means that he gives me grace in place of the grace I already had, or he gives me grace instead of the grace I already had. What that says to me is what got me here was good, but what will get me there is great. When that installment of greatness becomes good, then he will give me great grace again. It's not just a marathon, but I said it to the staff this way this week. It's like a marathon with hurdles. And when God gives you grace to get to the first hurdle, he gives you grace to get over it. And then when you get over that hurdle, he gives you grace to get to... Some of y'all need to tell your face this is a happy sermon. When he gives you grace to get over that hurdle, he gives you grace to... You see where I'm going? Thank you. To the unsaved, he gives grace to be saved. To the redeemed, he gives grace for miraculous growth, for sanctification, for edification. To the sick, he gives grace for healing. To the weak, he gives grace for strength. To the fearful, he gives grace to believe. What am I saying? I'm saying that every step of our journey, he gives grace instead of grace. It doesn't mean that he ever replaces it or removes it. It just means he tunes it up for the day and the hour. Our God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Yes! Of his fullness we have all received. Are you blessed? Yes. And grace for grace. He gave me grace to get me here. He'll give me grace to absolutely succeed while I'm here. There's a scripture in Matthew 6, 33 and 34. It reads this way, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Now, if you'll go back and look earlier in that passage, all these things are material needs and health needs and all those items, food, drink, clothing, housing, all that stuff. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Somebody say the word out loud, added. All these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry for tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Does anybody know with me that God kept you before there ever was a pandemic? Can you say out loud with me that he's kept me thus far in this thing? Then what I want the body of Christ to see, we did not get here by mistake. We did not get here by accident. Of his fullness, we have all received. And we've also received grace for grace. What Jesus is teaching us in Matthew's gospel, the 6th chapter, he's teaching us that all these things will be added. All these things shall be added. What will they be added to? They will be added to the obedience that was made possible by his grace. You would have never obeyed if he had not been gracious. You had never been saved if he had not been gracious. Somebody Somebody's got to hear me now. By grace, you have been saved through faith. I declare over you right now, it was not your righteousness that led him to save you. It was his righteousness. When he saw that there was no man, it bothered him. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate. And his own arm, it brought salvation for him. I'm not saved by my goodness. I'm saved by his grace through faith. So I declare to you that anything righteous you have that he can add to it, it didn't come from you. It's an installment of grace. It's a result of grace. It's seek first the kingdom of God. How do you do that apart from grace? You don't. You're only on this journey because he's gracious. Glory. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things will be added. Added to what? Added to your obedient search. Your obedient search is sponsored by, sanctioned by, created by, allowed by, sustained by the grace of God. You're not doing good apart from God. Oh, I love that. And all these things will be added. I want to say over you right now. Listen, if you're not saved, I'm going to pray with you later and you can be saved in Jesus' name. But if you're born again, if you are born again, I want you to hear me. If you will seek the righteousness of God and his kingdom first, then every need you have will be added unto you. He knows what you have need of even before you ask him. And the only reason he allows you to ask is because he is gracious. And he said in his word that before you ask, he already answered. And before you spoke, he already heard. I want to tell the body of Christ, where you're standing may have a need, but it also has a miracle. And that miracle is a work of grace. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. You know what I've learned? God of yesterday is the God of today. He's also the God of forever. I read that in Hebrews 13 and 8. I liked it. I memorized it. I kept it. You'll find him and his illustrious grace waiting on you in the future. Oh, do you hear me? You will find him and his miracle grace waiting on you. Didn't I help you get over the last hurdle? Didn't I get you to this one? Didn't I help you there? Didn't I help you here? Won't I help you there? You see, the reality of this is grace precedes us. Grace precedes my need. The NIV says it this way: out of his fullness, we've all received grace in place of grace already given. Friend, the reason you're here this morning, could you just be honest with me as a group of believers? I want everybody to be encouraged, and I don't want you to be discouraged. If you have a need in your life this morning that is bothersome to you that you would like God's help with, would you just be honest for the body of Christ? I'm going to raise my hand first because I have some needs in my life that I would like God to help me with. I want to say that now. I have needs in my life that I need the help of God with. If you have a need in your life that you need the help of God with, the grace of God with, would you just raise up your hand and not be ashamed? Would you raise up your hand? Now, can I just say that I want to take you back to James 5 that says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I want you to hear me. Your weakness is not making God hate you. My Bible said he is near to those that have a broken heart and saves those who are crushed in their spirits. I want to say to everybody who has a need, you're watching us this morning, you're listening to us one day this week or one day whenever you have a need in your life, I want to say to you that God gave you grace to get here so that need could be met. That need does not dominate you. That need alerts you that you are not God, but that there is a God, and you need to lift up your eyes and you need to look up under the... Yes, my need does not defy him. My need invites him. In blessing the lives of his children, he's simply adding to what he already gave. He gave us grace. He gave us blessing. We have nothing apart from him. Grace precedes us. It's waiting on us. Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. I can't help I love these scriptures. I can't help I love these scriptures. I quote them often, but I want to put them on the screen so you'll know I'm not just saying them from somewhere. They're in the Bible. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, and through Him chose us from the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Does that not sound like of His fullness we have all received? Does that not sound like that He will give us grace to replace the grace He gave us from the foundation of the world? Your need may look different now, but your God does not. Your need may bother you differently now, but your God is still the same. I want to say He chose you from the foundation of the world, and when He chose you, He ordained you, and He blessed you with every spiritual blessing, and your need may seem larger, but I declare to you that your God has never shrunk. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. How do you magnify God? You don't make Him bigger. You get a better view of Him. And when you get a better view of Him, the mountain in your life suddenly doesn't look as big. For we are His workmanship. Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship. We are His composition. We are His design. And He gives us grace to walk in the things that He has arranged. I didn't have time for this, but if I did have time for it, I would have mentioned Luke 22:31-32, where the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." I don't have time for it because we're on time constraints here today. And I'm really concerned about our time constraints. And I don't want to go long this morning. But if I had time, I would tell somebody, He didn't pray for your car. He didn't pray for your house. He didn't pray for your clothes. He didn't pray that your steak would come out medium rare. He prayed that your faith would not fail. May I tell you the reason He prayed that is because by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith is an irreplaceable commodity in the life of a child of grace. Now, if I'd had time for that, I would have mentioned that. But I know some of y'all are on time constraints, so I didn't want to go there this morning. You know, I like old people. I do. I just like old people. Might be because I'm becoming one. Get off my lawn. I really mean that. Those of you that know me know I mean that. Better than get off my lawn, don't get on it in the first place. I've been reading older commentaries. I need to read some new ones that people can understand. Well, people need to quit. Can I get y'all to put some punctuation and capitalization in your text messaging? You really need to work on your grammar. This older gentleman wrote a long time ago, "Think of the Christ raised up before the whole race of man as able to replenish all of their emptiness with His fullness alone, and to satisfy all of their thirst with just His sufficiency. He can supply all of your wants, just as He can supply all the wants of every soul of every man ever created. And after generations have drawn from Him, the water will not have sunk one hand's breadth in the great fountain. But there will still be enough for all coming eternities, as there has been enough for all past times. So of His fullness have we all received." He is not empty. He has never been empty. He cannot be diminished. He will never be diminished. And after a universe has drawn from Him from all of eternity, the fullness will never be turned into scantness or emptiness. He is an overwhelming God. Why are you jumping up and down and yelling and pumping your fist? Because grace isn't dead. Grace is alive. The larger the obstacle, the greater the measure of grace. And can I just tell you that grace works? Grace works. They used to have a commercial when I was a kid. I've told y'all about this before, but I loved it. I love this commercial. It was Formula 409, and they would spray that thing on a dirty white refrigerator, and as they sprayed it, that stuff, that grime would melt away, and they would say, Formula 409, it starts to work even before you start to wipe. I'm saying, Mom, don't you buy that non-brand stuff at Food World. You get over there and you buy that 409. Get a coupon for that stuff. I don't care, Mom, if we have to get less marshmallows in our cereal. I want that stuff that starts to work before you start to wipe. Can I just say to somebody, it's terrible that kids grow up thinking Formula 409 is better than the grace of God. I want to speak to somebody this morning and tell you the grace of God works. And the grace of God is never diminished. And the grace of God is always alive. And I tell you, the larger the obstacle, the greater measure that of grace God gives. There's a man with a daunting, seemingly impossible task looming ahead of him, and that man's name is Zerubbabel. He's recorded in the book of Zechariah. He is sent to rebuild this temple for the Lord in Jerusalem after the exile. And can I just say, after the exile, church in the Old Testament was not the same. It was different. It was different. Can I just say, in the New Testament 2021, church just doesn't look the same in the United States of America. But very much like Zerubbabel, we are told to rebuild a place of worship. And we are told to bless the Lord. And we are told to do things in a prescribed manner. And while we're trying to do things the right way, somebody who said they're more right than us tells us that we're wrong and we're bigoted and we're homophobic and we're illiterate and all of this. But I want to say to somebody, there is still a house worth building. There is still a faith worth having. Somebody said amen. So all these folks are saying, listen, listen. This is happening and this is happening. This is going on. Many people want him to fail. But there is one who says he will not fail. You say, who is that? God, Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. So he answered and said to me, the task was too daunting. Zerubbabel was not going to be able to do it on his own. But the grace that got him there to see the need was going to be the grace that got him through. Stop thinking because you see hardship, God isn't gracious. If he weren't gracious, you'd never see the hardship in the first place. Listen to me. The need of a miracle does not mean the absence of God. It means the presence. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. So God answered and said to me, stop listening to other people. Stop listening to preachers that don't preach the word of God. Go back to God. Get in the word. So God answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now, when he says the Lord of hosts, he means the Lord of the armies of Israel. He means the Lord of the armies of heaven. He means there are untold numbers of angels that will come and defend the people of God. So here, all of a sudden, the word says, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Who are you, O great mountain? You're going to be absolutely flat. And Zerubbabel is going to bring forth the capstone. Now you do understand the capstone was when they were finishing. He's going to bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. He's not going to shout ability. He's not going to shout intellect. He's not going to shout low interest rate. He's not going to shout well dressed. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage the body of believers today. And I want to tell people that have a like and a precious faith, I want you to hear me this morning. There may be a mountain facing you, but there is a God sanctioning you. There may be a mountain defying you, but there is a God empowering you. And the grace that got you here is the grace that will get you there. Who are you, O great mountain? We have tasks. We have large tasks. One thing is life. Do you know life can get like a mountain sometimes? Just doing life sometimes can be difficult. Then we mix in the pandemic. This pandemic is bad. I am not saying it is not real. I'm also not denying that our tax dollars sent over $3 billion to Wuhan, China, who gratefully gave us the coronavirus. I'm not saying the pandemic isn't real. People are dying from coronavirus and problems associated with coronavirus. But I'm telling you now, he's God even in a pandemic. Some people are worried about the recession. They're worried about the inflation. They're worried about shortages. I mean, some of them don't even have room to get around their house for the stockpiled Charmin toilet paper. And they're upset now again about a recession or shortages. Then we deal with lawlessness among leaders. Then we deal with lawlessness among followers. It's a hard thing to see the effects of lawlessness in Etowah County, Alabama. I'm not talking about somewhere else. I'm talking about where we live. There are mountains. It's hard to see evil praised while goodness is hated. It's hard to see a liberal girl on the news this week calmly explaining her joy and confidence, her words, that Christians are now the minority and they have to be scared and they have to be ashamed, not the homosexual or the trans person. This girl had no qualms about saying that. Friend, if you got any gumption of godliness in you, that girl is not your enemy. That girl is to be prayed for. She is to be sought God over. I declare to you, there's a mountain in front of us. We've got wolves in sheep's clothing that would tell the lost that they are okay. The murder of the innocent unborn, when they're debating that, politicians say it's your body. But when it comes to a vaccine, the government says it's our body. The Texas heartbeat bill has been attacked on all fronts. If you don't know what that is, the legislator of Texas, with the governor of Texas signing it into law, said that if a heartbeat is detected, that baby cannot be aborted. And some say, well, that happens at 6 weeks, and most people don't know they're pregnant at 6 weeks, so y'all just effectively outlawed abortion. I got one word for all you. Bingo. That's exactly what they did. They don't want abortion in Texas. And while I'm at it, we don't want it in Alabama. My God, somebody get... I'm ready to see the mountain of abortion become a plain in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes! I did that just in case you thought I'd been loud to this point. Who are you, O great mountain? So what about the mountains in our lives? It broke my heart to see that young lady, educated, stand in front of a camera, confidently, boldly. She said, I'm just glad that the Christians are the ones who have to be ashamed now. Because there are more of us. You got to hear me. We've been debating once saved, always saved, and how drunk you can be and still be a deacon in the South. Oh. While the body has been fragmented of her own doing, the enemy has been very united. They've been very collective. And you got to hear me now. They're not my enemy. God wants to save everybody. So what about these mountains in our lives? These mountains. I don't know what you're dealing with. Maybe there's something in your family. I don't know. But everybody in this room, if you're honest with yourself and you're not just outside of your mind, there's a mountain that you're facing. There's something in your life that you can't do it on your own. And the Lord says to us like he says to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. He's a God of the armies of Israel. He's a God of heaven and earth. And he looks down and he says, who are you, O great mountain? Let's take that to the New Testament. For anybody who has been robbed of the goodness of God by people telling you the Old Testament doesn't count. Friends, the Old Testament tells us what the New Testament means. The Old Testament is a foreshadowing of him and what he did and why he did it. So the Lord says mountains are going to be plains. And Jesus says in Matthew 17 and verse 20, for assuredly, would somebody say assuredly? For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as of a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. I speak over you now that there's an anointing that even Zerubbabel did not have, and it is an anointing that comes upon the people of God once they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, once they have been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. You have at your disposal 66 canonical books of truth, and they always complement, and they never conflict, and they never compete. And you have this word that has been delivered unto you, and the word of God is clear, and the word of God is true, and the word who was made flesh and dwelt among us said, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as of a grain of a mustard seed, you will speak to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible. So I got one question. Where'd you get that mustard seed, Johnny? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Can I tell you it's grace in place of grace? Can I tell you that mustard seed didn't come from you? It came from God. That measure of faith that you need to tell that mountain to move from here to there. It didn't come from... Where in the world are you right now? Friend, you ought to be shouting. You ought to be rejoicing. I declare over you, the mountain is being moved. The mountain is being carried off in the midst of the sea. I speak a blessing that says, if you have a mustard seed. How'd you get that mustard seed? He just went ahead and gave it to me. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. He gives us grace in place of the grace we already had. He said, son, you got a mustard seed, but that's all you need. Don't focus on that mountain. Focus on that mustard seed and focus on where it came from. It's not your power. It's my grace. And the word says, before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. That's what the word of God says. Before Zerubbabel. Now again, I feel so aggravated that people have been lied to that the Old Testament has no effect in the modern life. Friends, I speak over you again. The Old Testament tells us what this modern life can rely on through Jesus Christ. So the word says you'll become a plain. I got a word for you, done. I got another word for you, done. I got two more words for you, done again. I speak over you, the mountain has become a plain. Isaiah 40, verses 4 and 5. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked places will be made straight, and the rough places will be made smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I declare that he outspeaks presidents. He outspeaks kings. He outspeaks theologians. He outspeaks professors. I declare there is no divinity apart from his. And he said the mountain has been made a plain. Somebody come to God through Jesus Christ. Somebody come to God knowing the mountain has already been flattened and the valley's already been exalted. Somebody make up your mind. Help us out over here. Go ahead and stand all over this building. I'm not anywhere near through, but somebody needs to stand up and declare over my life, the mountain has already been flattened. The valley's already been exalted. Way too much in the mind. Listen to me, somebody. Listen to me, somebody. My Lord, I feel a conviction, a constraint. I feel an unction. Stop saying he can't. He already did. You wouldn't even be here to hear this message if it weren't for his grace. So grace precedes us. Grace works on our behalf. And lastly, grace lasts. Doesn't run out. I mean, your milk might have an expiration date, but not the milk of the Word. Isaiah 46 and 4, I told you I love old people, even to your old age, I am he. Go. I'm going to need some of y'all to read more Bible throughout the week so you'll be a little bit more primed when you get in here. Is it okay if I ask you that? Go ahead and read more Bible during the week so you'll be ready. You'll be ready. You'll be ready. Even to your old age, I am he. And even to your gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and I will deliver you. Somebody right now give the Lord praise all over this house. I mean, put your hands together. Open up your mouth. They've already read this morning, the voice of rejoicing and shouting is in the tent of the righteous. Somebody make up your mind that it's your God who said, even to your old age, he's the one. He's the one that'll carry you. He's the one that made you. He will bear you. He will carry you. He will deliver you. That's what God said. So somewhere my mustard seed just got on. I'm talking about some steroids. My mustard seed faith said that mountain's gone. What about that one? So I bring to your attention again. Therefore, we do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Your heavenly Father clothes fields in majesty and feeds all of creation by the depth and breadth of his hand. If he's big enough for that, and he's big enough to get you thus far, he's God enough and he's big enough to get you home. Romans 8 says, in the midst of all kind of calamity, what shall we say to these things? Here's what we say. If God is for us, who can be against us? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Through him who loved us. I'm standing here by grace. I'm going there by grace. I'm standing here by grace. I'm going there by grace. And I'll tell you where else I'm going by grace. I'm going home by grace. 1 Peter chapter 1 says to the elect, look now, that's a, you saved? Are you saved? Then you're the elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, you've been elected. In sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Here's what he says. Grace and peace be multiplied. Wait a second now. I'm shouting over him adding it to us in Matthew 6 and 33. That's while he was here on the earth speaking over us. But now he speaks from heaven and he says grace isn't just going to be added to you, but grace. Would you please go back? Thank you. Grace and peace are going to be, somebody say the word out loud. Oh, he was adding it to us pre-pandemic. He's multiplying it to us now. Somebody's got to hear me. 1 + 1 = 2, but 2 × 2 = 4, and 4 × 4 = 16. And are you with me right now? I came to speak and preach to somebody. It's time to say, Lord, I'm glad that you added to the church, but I'm ready to shout that you're multiplying. You're multiplying grace. You're multiplying peace. Why does he do it? Verse 3, go with me now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. So we were born, we were marred, but then we were begotten again. the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to what? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. I came to remind the body of Christ, this world is not all there is. I came to remind the body of Christ, 2021, it's not all there is. I speak over you now, your life is only a vapor, but somebody's got to give God praise that you've been elected and you've been washed and you've been sanctified and you've been sprinkled. There's a home in heaven reserved for you. And one of the burdens I have right now, one of the mountains I have that I need God to help make a plain. The people in this room are not collectively as happy as they need to be about heaven. Why is everybody so mad? Why is everybody so desperate? Why? Because people don't sing about heaven anymore. And they don't talk about heaven anymore. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can see the Father standing by the door. This world's been a wilderness, but I'm ready for deliverance. I've never been this homesick, but somebody hear me in this house. This world is not my home. It was never intended to be. This is not the end all be all. Heaven. Heaven. Don't make me bring Squire Parsons here to sing Beulah Land to y'all. Somebody said, Squire who? Somebody with me. Help. Would you work with me right now as we close this service? Have you heard the truth? No, work with me. That was pretty weak. I'm standing here with you and couldn't even hardly hear it. Have you heard the truth? Are you encouraged? Please don't be offended. Can I just say something pastoral and you'll love me anyway? That was weaker than weak. I said, can I say something pastoral? You'll love me anyway. Then get happier about heaven. Grown men laying on the boat of a bass boat crying about a 6-pound bass. And I start preaching about heaven. Well, I mean, you know. What about that new low interest rate from Capital One? What about a home in glory that outshines the sun? Ooh, wait a minute. What? Help me, God. Help me, God. I'm trying to behave. I'm doing my best. There are no vaccines in heaven. None. There's no sickness in heaven. There are no tears in heaven. My son said, Dad, what do you mean no tears in heaven? I said, I'm going to tell you why. When we get there, the Bible said he's going to wipe every tear. I believe we'll probably think about some of the loss we had on this side. Reach over there and he's just going to wipe those tears away magically. They're gone. And we rule and we reign forever and forever. How long does that last? Well, I think forever means forever. Am I okay to go there? Do I need to call Washington to have that okayed? Forever! So if you don't mind, I need some of y'all just to pray it again. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we are all fed. Thank you, Lord, for daily bread. Lord, I give you praise. Somebody lift up your hands. Y'all need to practice. Y'all need practice right now. Lift them up. Y'all need practice. Lift them up. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. I want to speak over you now. I want to remind you, it's grace that got you here. It's grace that got you through that last obstacle. It's grace that flattened that last mountain. It's grace that cast out that last doubt. And it's going to be grace that gets you home. It's going to be grace. It's going to be grace. With shouts of grace, grace to it, we'll lay the capstone. Honey, I'm going to heaven. I don't know if I'm going standing up or through the grave, but make no mistake, there's going to be a trumpet sound. The Lord himself would ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You ain't got to follow me. Just let them look at a blank stage. Somebody shout, yes. Yes. Mighty man of God I know said these words to me. Mighty man of God. I ain't kidding you. When I say mighty man of God, I'm not flattering people. Mighty man of God. Here's what he said. If we'd read the word again and be moved by the Spirit again, we'd be reminded again about how great heaven is. We'd quit trying to do everything. We'd stop doing everything we can to stay here. We'd go ahead and say, thank you, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I don't mean leave out of here and go do something crazy. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Would anybody in this room make up your mind? Of his fullness we have all received. Have you ever been blessed? Are you blessed right now? It's only 10:08 by the Swatch Watch. Is that right? Am I right? People, I should have left y'all seated. I'm playing. I love y'all. So here's the deal. I don't want to do anything crazy. I don't want to just get sick. I want to be well. I want to be blessed. Are you kidding me? I want to be rich with straight teeth. I mean, you hear me? No cavities? Huh? Would you do me one favor, wonderful media person up there in the sky? Would you please bring back up under Grace Lasts, the bottom of page 3, would you please bring up Isaiah 46 and 4, if you don't mind. Can you find it? Even to your old age, I am he. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. He bore all of our sins on that tree. He bore all our sicknesses at that post. He bore all of our shame. Even the gray hairs, I will carry you. I've made you. I will bear you. Even I will carry. Somebody hear me now. And will deliver you. And the people of God said, amen.